13 years ago, a gracious, kind-hearted, generous, available, and affable man came to live with us. He came originally from Upper New York, from the area of Albany, but he came to us via Lafayette, Louisiana. And for 13 years, he's been our bishop. His name is Harry Flynn. In less than 100 days, he will cease being our bishop. He will retire. And over the past 13 years, he's tried very hard to help all of us understand how deeply God loves each one of us and how abundantly God has blessed each one of us. He has never tired telling us that. And he invites us to use the gifts that God has given us in a way that would make the name of God known and the name of Jesus loved. Each year, over the past 13 years, he has invited us to join with him in the work of the church through our support of the annual Catholic Appeal. This year is the last opportunity he has to speak to us. So what he asks is that this Sunday we take just a few minutes of time to listen to him and to allow him to, if you will, give his final message. Inaugural messages are important, but final messages are just as important. For when a person gives a concluding message, what a person tries to do is to zero in on what he or she believes is most important, what he or she believes is truly central.
Some years ago, when I was the bishop in Lafayette, Louisiana, I had the opportunity of meeting Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Mother Teresa was kind enough to have sent four sisters to assist me in ministering to the wonderful people of Lafayette. On different occasions, when I was with the sisters, I noted that they would never take anything to eat or drink. And sometimes it was a bit embarrassing because the people whom we were visiting always offered something. And then when I had an occasion to visit with Mother Teresa, I asked her the question, "Why is it that your sisters will not take anything to eat or drink whenever we go out and do our ministering?" Mother Teresa looked at me with those wise, wise eyes, those eyes of experience, those eyes that had reached out to the poor in so many different and beautiful ways. And she responded and she said, "Bishop, there is a reason for that. Our sisters visit the poorest of the poor throughout the world. And sometimes our sisters will be in a village visiting a family, and that family will only have a little water to sustain them for that day. Or that family will only have a little food to sustain them for that day." And she said, "Bishop, there is a phenomenon among the poor that even though they have so little, they will give that to you." So she said, "We have in our order a rule that we will never take any food or drink in anyone's home, and in that way we don't embarrass anyone, nor do we take the food or the water from those who need it so desperately. What a beautiful lesson I learned that day. A beautiful lesson about how the poor will give their very best to those who are visiting them, to the stranger, to the one coming down the highway. What a profound lesson Mother Teresa taught me. My dear friends, an act of faith that every one of us should make every single day is that act of faith of believing that everything that I have is a gift from God. My life, the food that I ate today, the water that I drank, my faith, the love that comes into my life, everything that I have is a gift from God. And if I begin to believe this and make it a habit of thinking this way, that everything is gift, the breath that I am taking right now is a gift from God, the very fact that I can speak is a gift from God, everything I have is a gift from God. If I can habitually look on everything that I have in this way, all of it is gift, then that is going to change the manner in which I use those gifts. And that is going to change the manner with which I will treat others. And that is going to change my outlook on life and on what I have. Because if I'm thinking that way, everything is gift, then all of a sudden, I begin to think of my possessions as ours and not mine. How beautiful it is to develop within our own hearts that concept of stewardship. God gives to me in so many different ways, but he gives to me so that I can make sure that the name of God is proclaimed and the name Jesus Christ is proclaimed and loved. How beautiful it is when I'm thinking that way, when I realize that everything that I have is gift, and that one day I will be accountable to that good God on how I have used these beautiful gifts. The poor apparently have it immediately. They understand it immediately. They understand that they want to give their very best to those who come to them. And that is the concept that you and I should have about the use of our gifts. How do I take the best that I have and give that to God and use it for God so that God's name will be known and loved? In the Old Testament, there is a beautiful, beautiful story. A beautiful story about the building of the great temple by Solomon in Jerusalem. And it was David, not Solomon, who purchased the land on which that temple was going to be built. And he went to a poor, poor peasant named Arunya. And when Arunya understood that a great temple to the living God was going to be built on his land, Arunya said, "Oh, I will give that to you free of cost." But David, that wise, wise man who was purchasing the land, said, "No, we will pay for it, because we will not offer to the Lord our God sacrifices that cost us nothing." And that should be our mentality, my dear friends, that God has given us so very, very much. What do we want to give back to God? What do we want to use of our gifts for the glory of God and His blessed name? How are we going to do this? The poor understood it, according to Mother Teresa. If they only had a glass of water for that day, they would give it to you, their guest, the very best that they had. If they only had a handful of food and you were visiting, they would give it to you, according to Mother Teresa, because you were visiting and they wanted you to have the very best. In each one of our hearts, you and I must pray, and we must ask ourselves that beautiful question: how am I going to take these gifts that God has given to me, and how am I going to give to the Lord my God the very best that I have? So let us offer. Let us offer our best to the Lord.
Now, the chair couple for the 2008 Archbishop's Annual Catholic Appeal, Marjorie and Roger Mountain.
Hello. For the last 15 years, Roger and I have taken great pride in volunteering our time for the Archbishop's Annual Catholic Appeal.
And so each year, we get to see firsthand how the funds that you've donated go to work throughout the Archdiocese.
For efforts like Catholic education, which strengthens our parishes by passing on the faith. Catholic charities, which helps those with nowhere to turn. And our seminaries, by funding room and board for our seminarians at St. John Vianney Seminary and funding tuition, room and board for our seminarians at the St. Paul Seminary.
We've also seen how Hispanic Ministries helps parishes reach out to the Latino community with youth events, leadership training, and catechesis. And we've seen how the Office for Family, Laity, Youth, and Young Adults brings retreats and faith enrichment to so many, including those with disabilities. The appeal has been and continues to be a critical source of much-needed funding.
Last year, the appeal raised almost $9.3 million, and of that, $3 million was returned directly to the parishes.
As a matter of fact, parishes have come to rely on the appeal rebate for their annual budgets. The appeal benefits your parish and sustains the Archdiocese.
So please pray and consider your gift to the Archbishop's Annual Catholic Appeal.
Let us all offer our best to the Lord.